We're beginning to continue our series through the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, and this is a widely debated topic in the Church of America and all over the world of what these gifts are, what their purpose is, who they're for, how to use them, how to abuse them. And our journey is just to find out biblically how to walk our way through these gifts, because scripturally, there is something to be said about looking and longing to be supernatural. Like, we feel like that's a bad thing, right? As long as we're scripturally sound, we hold on. But if you really read the scriptures, to be scripturally sound is to know that God has given us gifts. Like, God has put himself in us, not so we can have a mundane life of just following orders, but God has put his Spirit in us to give us power, not for ourselves, but for his kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm down with that a lot more than I am down with just sitting in church. To be a part of the church is to be Spirit-filled, to be full of his presence and power. And I don't know about you, but I want some of that. Amen? So I've enjoyed our journey so far. I think the conversations have been cool in some of our house churches. And I've been blessed myself if we studied. It really is one of the most important topics that most places avoid. And I just think that's in the biblical word, the Greek word for... I just spit on myself. Anyway, moving on. And so here's the deal. Here's why this is important to me. And I think like the Lord showed me this week. This week, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to shock some of you. I'm not perfect. I have issues. And this week was a good sign of that. This week something happened to me. I'm not a very, I don't like talking about politics very much with people, and people have tried to bait me into deep conversations of politics online and Facebook, and honestly, I hate that. I just don't think it's beneficial. And the Lord convicted me a long time ago that I'm very passionate about what I believe. I mean, very passionate about what I believe. And I can get very heated about things that I believe. And in the end, a long time ago, the Lord just broke my heart and said, hey, what does that have to do with me and the gospel and my church? And I got very convicted. But I'll tell you that sometimes I will get involved in watching the news, and I won't even tell you what channel I watch because you'll judge me, some of you. But I am judging you because of what channel you watch. And so I'm watching the news this week. And as you know, unless you're under a rock or not paying attention, this week was a huge week in the history of our country. Stuff going on with the Supreme Court and stuff that was happening with the nominee and accusations and sexual abuse. This whole thing came up, and I found myself, I don't even know what happened, but I found myself glued to the TV and angry. So I spent one whole day this week in my office not doing quality pastoral work. You're paying me just sit around and watch TV. And as I'm watching, I just find myself getting so mad. And some of it I think was righteous anger, and a whole lot of it was not. And so I was just ticked. And I spent the whole week in a funk in my head and angry and just completely off topic. And as I got through the week, I kind of got this from the Lord of, it really convicted me, like, hey, look at what you're focused on this week. Where is your heart? Where's your joy? Where's your hope? Where's your, in a lot of ways, I think our country's in probably one of the worst spots it's ever been in. I really believe that with all my heart. And some of us might agree with what I feel, and some of you might not. I don't really care. But in the end, the point is, no matter how stupid things get on the outside, the church is supposed to be always on the foundation of Christ. Always having joy. Always having peace. And I was just so convicted this week. I literally just in my office just felt like a dweeb because I was all worked up. I'm yelling at the TV. Yes, I do that sometimes. And some people do it at sports. I do it at politics. And so I'm having a horrible week. And the Lord just quietly said to me, where's your hope? Where's your purpose? Is that your purpose? Like, is that why you're here? Is to be angry about that? Does the scriptures not say that the government's of the nations are on my shoulders, not yours? And then I just started to break. Oh. And also last night, I'm doing work and I'm up here at the building and I get a message from my stepbrother to find out the man that I called my father from the time I was 5 till I was in my teen years, he died yesterday. His name is Vern. You guys have heard me talk about him before. And different aspects, but he passed away yesterday. And as I sat there last night thinking about him and his salvation and what he knew, what he didn't know, wondering where he was, again, I heard the voice of the Lord say, there are better things to concentrate on like this instead of the world. And so my heart broke, and I sat there and pondered it. And so the reason why I'm saying all this is because I believe that the gifts and focusing on the things of the Lord are exactly the things we should be putting our heart and hope and attention into, because they are the very things that change this world. They are the very things that change churches, change the heart of inmates, dope dealers, and soccer moms. Amen. Learning, not only are you saved, not only are you created in the image of God, those things are great, but people like stop there. But God has given us his church, and God has given us supernatural abilities in every single one of us who calls on the name of the Lord inside of us for the work of his kingdom. They're not for me, but I get edified in it. Amen. But he has given them to me, and there is something supernatural. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something supernatural up inside you. That was fine. Here's the deal. As we walk through this, the whole purpose of this journey is this. We believe a 10,000% in the scriptural inerrancy of God's word. God's word is good. And we believe in 1,010% that God's word doesn't end on itself. Not that there's more of it, it's complete, but God's word alludes to, points to this supernatural church that Paul talks about, that I don't even think Paul can fathom a church not supernatural and full of God's Holy Spirit. And so we've been on this journey. People argue on both sides, but I think that God is bringing us to the middle, and we are, I think we're in a good place. We are longing for God to shift the atmosphere. Everybody say, shift the atmosphere.
Shift the atmosphere.
Like, can we cut the crap for a minute? Like, how many of us in here need the Lord to shift the atmosphere of their lives? Like, come on. Like, this is important. This is direly important. Your Christianity is not supposed to be some long, drawn-out, boring thing. This is God's kingdom. This is life and newness and hope and joy and purpose, eternity in this place. We are eternal, and you are gifted. It will change your life when you realize that God has placed these things inside of you. Amen? Here's the boom for this week. If you're new here, it's just a big idea. In his grace and love for his church, the Lord has placed supernatural equippers, interesting, in the church to build up and train up the body to accomplish the ministry that he has given each and every one of us. And so here's what we're doing. We're finally, after all these weeks of preparatory question asking, we're going to get into some of the gifts, kind of. And so I'm just going to keep avoiding them for the rest of our days. Amen. But today we're going to get to the gifts. I want you all to open your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter what?
4.
Verses what?
11 and 12.
Hey, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And you're going to see a little bit on the journey that we're about to partake in. So it'll be up on the screen, but I also want you to read along in your Bible, if you have one. If you're just checking in on Facebook, tell everybody I said, hey. Hey. Here we go. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. That's what the scriptures say. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. So here we go. Jumping into gifts, these five gifts, and there's even some argument about if these are five or four. This is called the fivefold ministry, equipping ministry, and but a lot of people argue that the last two are actually one, and I kind of on that. So I call myself the 4.5 gift guy in this thing, and you're free to believe whatever you want in Jesus' name, amen. But these are a unique set of gifts because the charisma, the Holy Spirit power, isn't pointing to a single gift. These are pointing to a person. So the scriptures are saying that God has given a gift to the church. It's not just the gift, but it's a person. This person has been strategically placed in the body of Christ to do what? Yes, to build us up, to equip us. And so this is not only a charisma. So later we'll be talking about prophecy, but there's also, we're going to be talking about a prophet. Does that still exist today? We're going to be talking about evangelists, not just evangelism. These are roles within the church. And we'll talk about all that in the next couple of weeks. What's still flourishing? What's not? If it's not, if it is, we'll argue and fist fight about all that stuff like good Christians should. But the bigger point of this is God has blessed this church and every church, if we're open to it, certain people to come in and lead and to use their gifting for our benefit. Amen? These are equipper gifts. Look at your neighbor and say equipper gifts. Some people call them offices, which I'm not anti, but I also think that some people use that in a wrong context, and we'll talk about that as time goes on. But these gifts are people. Everybody say people. So here's this. It's vitally important that we get this. These people are driven and inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're put here on purpose. They're here because it's a sign of His love. By the way, how many of you are glad that God knows what you need and God cares more about what you need than what you want? Amen? Well, that's a country song that'll sing over and over and over again, isn't it? Don't get me started singing Garth. I'll do it. And this is what this is the biggest point today, because I thought we were going to get to a certain point. And as I was studying over the last week or two and just thinking about this, we're going to stop and pay attention to a few things. This is going to prove even more so the point of why we need the body of Christ. I don't care if you end up staying here for the rest of your life. I'm honored that you would be. I want you to come and do church with us. I think we're the coolest gangsters on the face of the earth, right? You guys are the best looking people at church I've ever seen, right? Most of you, amen, right? But in the end, the holistic, if you are not a part, purposely invested in, injected into the body of Christ, you are missing so much of what God has for you. I don't care about your background. I don't care how churches hurt you. I don't care if you had a bad pastor. Believe me, I've had bad pastors. I've had bad junk. But biblically, we're going to walk through today these gifts that God has given to the local church, and the local church benefits and grows in them. But if you keep bouncing around and you keep doing your thing and you're never dedicating, well, I'm just part of the church universal. I just submit to whatever. You watch 30 things online. You go to 12 services. In the end, you're going to miss what God has for you. At least a big chunk of it. Amen? So moving on. Here's the deal. As we look at the text, this is what it starts with. The first three words are, and he gave. Stop. You can tell this is going to be a long series. What's important about that? Before we start with the rest, what by reading those three words can we pull out of this text? It's free. Great. What else? It came from God. Listen to me. When the scriptures say God gave us something, you better pay attention. Because when God gives something, it's with absolute purpose, absolute grace, and absolutely needed to be followed. So as I read through this, and as my heart was burdened, I was going through this, and I said, wait, he gave. And honestly, I've read through this text before. Oh, it's the equipper text. I like the equipper text. And as I moved in, I was like, wait a minute, there's something directly from God that I need to be open and pay attention to. So number one, it's divine. And we should be careful when we talk about stuff like this to understand their importance and how they lead in our lives. Amen? And so here's the thing. And this is what I want to talk about, why he gave them. And this is why this topic is so important for me. In my early church years and in my life, pastors and people that were in the church using their gifts on staff, whatever you want to call it, were exactly that. They were staff members. For some reason, something has happened in the church where guys who are on staff, people, whatever's going on, they're staff members. They get hired like an employee. And in the end, I get some of that. You have a large church, you have a bunch of people on your staff. But in the end, we need to be careful. And I've been in a room in a presence where people, where you sit in a room with staff and people just end up losing jobs and people fight and you miss the importance that God has given some people to the church as a gift and he has put them there and you can't treat them like that. They're God-ordained people. Do sometimes people need to lose their job because of something's going on in morality? Yes, but you don't treat them like they're a time card. Amen? And so this is why I'm so passionate about this. This is not hired hands. These are gifts God has given to the church. And all I want to talk about today is why he gave them. He gave them to us. And if you read through this text and don't just stop at verse 12 and keep going all the way through verse 16, there are tons of things why it is so vitally important for the church to understand why he's given to this. This isn't a sexy sermon. This isn't one of those ones that's going to catch you in the feels, but I guarantee you, you must know this in your heart of hearts and what should be expected that comes from the Church of Christ. Amen? No, we didn't turn Church of Christ. You know what I meant. Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, it's going to be up on the wall, says this. This is why he gave them. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I'm going to talk about why Jesus has given us these gifts. And I believe that as a church, we should be vitally, at least coherent to what God is saying about them. And then later we can fight over their positions and if they still exist. Amen? How many of you are ready to throw down? Nima's ready to throw down. No, Nima's ready to throw down. I'm ready to throw down with Nima. Here's number one on why this is so vitally important. And it says this in chapter 12, and I'm just using straight scripture, and I'm just going to talk about them a little bit. Here's why it's so important that these people are operating in our churches in one way or another. Number one, they're given for working to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Number one, who are the saints? Pope John Rob the 13th. I love that guy, right? That's a Catholic thing. Saints are people who have done these. The scriptures to say, who are the saints? We are. Believers. Because of the blood of Christ, we are the saints. And by the way, are we sainted because we've done miraculous things, or are we saints because we belong to the living God? Straight scripture. We can talk about that all day long. We are saints. So who's he talking to? Us. And so number one, this thing kind of blows through. Two things are implied. Number one, these people are given to the church to equip you, give you necessary tools for training. This is why things like discipleship are so important and not just entertainment-based value of a church. These people were placed in this church to equip you. What does equip mean? Just give me something. Prepare you, give you tools, right? To be able to do what? To take on the mission we have ahead of us. So first of all, it says they're here to breathe life, to train you. And number two, it says for what? So the saints for the work of the ministry. What else does that imply? It implies that my job's easy. I don't have to talk to nobody outside these doors. The scripture just said, that's a joke. My job is to equip you, but whose job is it to do the ministry? Yours, every single one of us, including myself. But literally, this is why can you see how backwards we've gotten in the last 100 years of church, where church has become this: if we like you, we will hire you, we will pay you, you can teach us, and by the way, you do the work. And if you entertain me long enough, I'll keep coming back and giving money. I'll call this family, I'll go to Bible studies, I'll do these things. But in the end, that's absolutely wrong. The point of this is you have not only been loved and graced by Jesus, but God has given you a purpose to use on the face of the earth. These people are critically important because they train you up on how to do what you do. Can you see what happens in a church when people aren't allowed to lead and lead the way God has them? People are not trained up the way they should be. Amen? The work of the ministry is yours. Dave Guzik said this: God's people do the real work of ministry. Leaders in the church have the first responsibility to equip people to serve and to direct their service as God leads. If the church is not moving and the church is not alive, what's the problem? The people are not being obedient to what God has called them to do. The second part of that in verse 12 says he's given these gifts. He's given these people for the building up of the body of Christ. What happens? How do you build something up? What happens in a muscle if there's atrophy? What happens when you don't use it or you're not getting built up? You're not pumping the iron, baby. What happens? They get weak, right? If we need these people to build us up. This is why you need the church. You need people to be on you for encouragement, to stretch you, to grow, to build you up in strength. Why? Because what goes on the outside is not something you can handle on your own, right? You need equippers. You need people to come and build you up in strength, to encourage you, to say, you got it, Tanya. I know this has been a hard work, honey, but you can do this thing this week, right? You can do this. God is with you, speaking hope and the truth into somebody. This is why people who do random church attendance end up dying. If you're skirting from week to week, you're coming in floating. You ever do this from Sunday to Sunday? Some of you have this Sunday. I'm on spiritual high. Man, that Pastor Rob's good looking, and that dog can preach, right? And so you leave here on the Sunday and Monday, you're still waxing, and then, uh-oh. By Friday, maybe you're in jail, right? I mean, in this church, that stuff literally happens. But I'm not, you don't have to go to jail to figure it out. I just, some of you are like, yeah, dog, last week. I mean, but a part of that reason, y'all, is you were made to be around training and equipping and building and edifying all the time. That is a major reason why God has placed these people in the church. Amen? Here's another one. They were given, in verse 13, it says this. They were given so the church may attain to the unity of the faith. Let's be honest. If it wasn't for Jesus, how many of us would hang out and be homies? How many of you were just speaking? Well, of course, Bill, you and I would be hanging. But here's the thing. How many of us would really be, you know what, go back to the political thing. You want to open up a can of worms this morning? Let's talk about your political viewpoint of stuff. I know Mike Simmons down to throw down with me. We've done that for years, right? Here's the deal. I don't want to be unified with a lot of you. A lot of you don't want to be unified with me in the flesh. Amen? But there's something beyond that. The scripture is pointing to God giving us this gift, okay? And I don't just mean to keep going on the political thing. I'm just hung up on that this week, all right? We can talk about whatever. You know, talk about gun control? Let's talk about gun control. No, that's still political. Never mind. Moving off that. See where my brain is stuck this week. What about unity? Here's what happens when we get equipped and we get trained up. The things that are frivolous and small and pointless in this world start to fade. And as you grow and as you get equipped and as we grow as a body and as we mature together, we can start to see things as little things that need Jesus on them, but they are not the main things. And we need to grow into this. And I'm talking about myself, that as we get built up in the body of Christ, we get put into the unity of Christ. And the unity of Christ is, here's how I feel, but when do feelings ever negate what the truth is? I love you because of the love of Jesus. I am unified with the bigger body of Christ. We're not the only church on the block. We are with people in China and in people on the north side. We are unified. And these people are placed in our midst to grow us so we can walk in unity. Somebody say, mm-hmm. By the way, when these leaders aren't allowed to lead and aren't expected to be in the church, you can begin to see after every one of these what starts to happen. I don't love you and want to hang out with you because I think you're the coolest person on the face of the earth, which for some of you, that's true. But I want to love you because I love you like Jesus. Amen? Some of you are like, so what, dude? I want to hang out with you now. To that I say, my wife likes me. Moving on. Here's another one. The scripture just says in verse 13, it says that he has given us these people, these gifts, so the church can have a knowledge of the Son of God. How many of you learn supernaturally everything about God's truth from his word without anybody else walking with you and helping you? Anyone? Not even one? Houston? No. This morning I had a guy say, me, man, I have my Bible, you know, the Holy Spirit indwelled, you know, Trinity. And I'm like, well, where did we get the doctrine of the Trinity? Is Trinity in the Bible? No, by the way, that came through application of a man looking at it, putting it into place, coming up with the word. Amen. But how vitally is important for the word of God? This is another big one. When you don't preach and teach the whole word of God to this church, and when teachers and pastors don't do their job, and we fall into entertainment or whatever it is, and we don't teach people the word of God, right? Why is knowledge of the Son of God important? Because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you're here, and when these people over you, you better make sure that those people placed over you in teaching and leading and pastoral, all those things are very passionate about this, because what you need is a knowledge of the Son of God. Amen? The whole truth, right? I'm going to start calling us one of those churches. Whole truth restored on 255 South Estelle. Amen? The gifts, these people help us to grow in his word and the foundation of our lives. By the way, you're supposed to grow into that. Everybody get it? Like, hunger for the word isn't just this boring book that we read. Like, God's word is in there. You need somebody to walk with you and teach you and train you in how to handle the word. So then you can do what? Teach and train other people to be able to handle the word of God. Amen? Here's another one. This one's fluffy. Verse 13 says this, that they have been given so the church may reach maturity. I like this one. Is there such thing as an immature church? What do you think that looks like? By the way, is there such thing as an immature believer? Some of you are like looking out the corner of your eye. Please don't out anybody sitting next to you on that one. Here's the deal. As years pass by, we should not just grow old into Jesus, but we should be more mature into him as number one, as an individual. You should not look today what you look like 10 years ago in the faith. Right? How many of you, like? So let me give you early Rob Dans. Full of zeal, love Jesus, passionate, idiot. I mean, really, I was just like, all Jesus all the time. And in that, I was so passionate that I would run people over or end up with my feelings hurt, sucking my thumb in the spiritual corner, right? And so over the years, what happened, and by the way, God's grace is in that. But in it, though, if I'm here now, 20-something years later, and I'm still the same kid in my faith, there's something wrong. And scripturally, like, this is why God has given us these people. Imagine your baby coming out of the womb saying, I got this, Dad. Right? Baby comes out. By the way, they're talking, which is miraculous. You should bring in the TV. But say your newborn comes out and says, I'm going to change myself. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to wipe my bottom. You're like, holla. Right? Now, what would you say? It's unfathomable. Because babies can't take care of themselves. They need somebody to help them mature. Right? Don't wipe dookie on your brother. Not a good idea, right? Those are conversations parents have, amen? And the same thing happens spiritually. As a baby Christian, you are supposed to grow. This is why Paul talks about it. He's like, man, when I first came to you, I was using these not eloquent words. I was giving you milk. You were on milk because you were a baby. You needed milk. But now you should be eating meat. You should be eating meat. You should be doing this with other people. You have to grow up. And these gifts in the church help us grow. And as a church, what does a immature church look like? Not full of the word. And by the way, let me go back over here. Restored Community Church, day one. Full of zeal, heart, loving Jesus. Dumb. Over the years, I hope that we have grown up. Because as you walk with Jesus, you're supposed to grow up. I remember there was a dear sister at our church a long time ago. her words were, she left the church angry. She's a very bitter lady. I'm sure it was all her fault, none of our fault. And she got to her new church and she wanted to make sure she knew. I just want to let you know, I finally found a mature church, not an immature church like y'all. And as I look back over the years, she was probably right about some of it. But anyway, I don't know why I shared that story. Listen, when leaders aren't leading and leading God's way, we don't grow up. And what happens is you can have 30-year-old into Christians, 30-year-old churches that are still sucking on the milk and not on the word of God. We're supposed to grow up. And that's why these gifts are so important. Amen. Here's another one in verse 13. It says that God has given us these people, has given us these gifts in the church so the church can reach the fullness of Christ. Gosh, that's so good. Like, does anybody know what the fullness of Christ is? Has anybody got it figured out, by the way, number one? What seems clear in my layman's terms, just the way I can put it, the way I understand it, is this, like, there is more that he has for us. Amen? Like, again, when you're a new believer, you had some inklings of who God was and how he worked and that he saved you, right? But as you matured, you found something. There was more, right? There's more than just Jesus loves sinners, right? That's great. There's more than just that. He keeps adding to the plate. Like, he keeps giving us truth and power and wisdom and grace. And guess what? Grace wasn't a one-time thing. Grace is a day after day after day after day thing. And as you learn about him, as people teach you, you walk in the fullness. And the way I equate this is, I want more. I want more of what he has. Amen. I want to know him more. I want to worship him more. I want to operate in things I didn't even know I had more. I want to mature more. I want more. I want fullness of Christ in my life. We need to go for more. This is why it's so exciting to talk about these gifts. Because to me, you can't reach fullness of Christ if you avoid them for their whole life. If it's possible that these gifts still exist today and they're still moving and they still do work in the church and people refuse to walk in that, how can you ever walk in the fullness of Christ and what he has for his church? You cannot. And by the way, we would be foolish to think that this is the only topic we've been neglecting. Amen? I mean, I haven't. I'm me. You guys probably. Here's another one. Scripture says in verse 14, listen to this. This is great. God has given us these people in our church, so we are not tossed around by every wind of doctrine or human cunning, and it goes on to say calamity. Some people are like this. I want to be a sail in the wind of God's purpose. I say, awesome. You know what's bad about a sail? Is if you don't tie it down to something. Because a sail that's in the wind of God's grace, that's not tied to something, guess what you become? You become a rag in the wind, getting tossed all over the place. And I see this a lot. It breaks my heart that we get people that are so full of zeal. Look, Pastor, I'm coming out of this addiction thing. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm so on fire. I love Jesus. I just feel his presence. And then they never get rooted in something. And what happens? The wind blows and they go, poof, and they're gone again. This is also people who live by raw emotion. Like every time the phone rings, bam, your life's in calamity. Every time sinners that live outside of you, because you're perfect, but when sinners outside of you actually do something sinful, and then it completely jacks your world. Like, this is why I'm so ashamed of myself this week. I'm watching the news, I'm watching our government, and I'm getting so angry because sinners are acting like sinners, right? And I know there's levels and we can argue about it all day long, but in the end, like, I just heard the voice of the Lord say, hey, you are grounded on me. I am truth, I am hope. You put your life in me, calamity comes, waywardness comes, but I am foundation. And this happens with doctrine as well. If you don't have people that are solid in their doctrine, solid in what they teach you theologically, some of you, I remember this dear brother, he was on Facebook, and he was here at church on Sundays when we're back in the old place, and he was like, man, we heard this scripture, and I got a revelation of that today in my Bible, and he listed off this Bible verse, and I remember Steve or somebody hit me up, he's like, can you read through that Bible verse? It seems kind of weird, and we looked, and I looked, and I'm like, something's off. A couple words are off. Well, it turned out to be, he thought it was a New Living Translation. It was a New World Translation. Who owns the New World Translation? Jehovah's Witnesses. And so he was influenced by this and he was blowing with the wind. And so one of our guys had to get a hold of him and say, hey, Bubba, that's not right. That's not what the scriptures say. It sounds right, but these couple words change around. You have got to be put on a foundation. You have got to be put in a place where no matter if human cunning or wind of doctrine or anything that's chaotic. And so when these leaders are in our church, they're being encouraged and fueled and fired to be here teaching and leading and doing what they do, we can be foot and set a foot on strong doctrine and not be blown away. By the way, some of you live in a world of drama. This is what I've learned in ministry. Common sense doesn't mean anything when you've grown up in a life of drama and it's what you're comfortable with. Like, I try to beat my children to this game, because I'll come in and, like, my 15-year-old, her whole day will be blown up and crying. I'm like, what's wrong? So-and-so said something. I'm like, who cares? Now, I'm a big jerky 41-year-old. I don't remember what it's like to be a hormonal teenager, whatever. But in the end, I see adults act the same way.
Like, you have got to get into a place where Jesus is enough. Your kid's going to act like knuckleheads. I'm not saying that's not hard, but what I'm saying is if it throws you off your game, you're missing the point. Your singleness, whatever it is, nothing is supposed to move you off the foundation of Jesus. It doesn't mean you don't go through storms. It means you don't get knocked off. That's why these people are important in the church. Amen? No more chaos. No more drama-filled lives. I am dumbfounded by how many of us are comfortable in drama. I'm just dumbfounded. I do the same thing. It just comes in different waves. Like I'm used to the chaos, so I would rather take something I'm used to instead of truth because that's uncomfortable compared to how comfortably miserable I am. People can be comfortably miserable. Everybody get that? Like, come on, I know this room. I've sat with y'all on the phone. I mean, come on, I know what comfortably miserable is. I'm miserable, but I'm used to it, right? There's more. Amen? Here's the next one at verse 15. This one's just simple. He has given these people in the church so we can speak the truth in love. Man, great leading should always equal two things. Truth, God's truth, and love. What does it look like to operate in truth and love? How about in your marriage? Is there a difference between truth telling and truth in love? Woman, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me. You better be biblical. How does that work real well? How many of you have said that? Mike Simon, I know you've said that before. Anyone? Nobody? Jerry, have you said that? Jerry, you've said it. Come on. All right, I'm the only putz in this room that's ever said something stupid like that. I haven't said it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Anyway, just kidding. No, I did say it back in the day, and I learned the very, very hard way. But truth and love, here's the thing as you grow up. And as people pour into you, my wife used to say, I used to have this ability, and I pray I don't lose it or I haven't lost it, but to be able to punch somebody in the face while giving them a hug. You know what I mean? Speak truth into people in a way where we don't just bash people with truth, we love people with the truth. By the way, sharing the truth with somebody is to love somebody, right? And we do it in a way that honors Jesus. What about Jesus? Did he echo this? Jesus said very hard things, but he left grace and love open in that. And as we grow and mature, we need these people to walk in this to be able to speak the truth and love. By the way, we can scream and yell hateful things in protest as Christians all over the nation. And I promise you, it's not going to change the heart of one person until we show the heart of Jesus with Christ's compassion and his love and speak the truth. We don't back down. It's like we can have one or the other. All truth or all love. We can love everybody, and I think that's a heresy in the church, but it's a plague of the church. We can either talk, we're a truth church. We're the whole truth gospel church. Or we're the love church. By the way, are you seeing a pattern of the scriptures? Everybody's always over there about an issue. Everybody's always over there, and Jesus is almost always right here. Truth and love. Everybody understand? I know you're smarter than most people and you got it figured out, but Jesus might have something to teach us. Here's another one. He has given us these people, these gifts, so the church may grow up in every way into Jesus, who is our head. This goes with the maturity thing. So Jesus, scripturally, Jesus is the head of the church, right? And we're the body. And so this is how I equate this, and this is funny. How many of you had children that had big old head syndrome? And many of you, some of you mamas are walking around here like, don't even talk, brother. You don't even understand what the big head thing is. And so you had a baby that had a big old head and maybe a wee little body, right? They look like an orange on a toothpick walking around, right? And then with time, what had to happen? Their body had to grow into the fullness of their head, right? And so, I equate this as I read through this, I kind of giggled because I thought about a couple of my kids. I don't think there's any of them in here, is there? Okay, a couple of my kids had large craniums and skinny little bodies, but they grew into them. I just think that these people are given so we can grow up in every way into Jesus, who is our head. Like, and as you get older in your faith, this is what you need to learn. You need him more. You need to know him more. You need to follow him more. We want to glorify him more because we want to move into, what happens when you have a strong head and a weak little body? Courtney did. Yeah, that's right. That was perfect. Thank you, Courtney. That's fantastic. Yeah. And this is why these people are important, because we want to grow up into what Jesus has for us. It just goes back to the fullness. And then the last one in verse 16, it says this. He has given them to us to ensure that each part is working properly. So what does the scripture say that we are? We're body parts, right? Right? 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And then down in verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So these people, these gifts to the church, these shepherds, teach all of these things, their job is to help us know. Here's the thing. As a pastor, would it be wrong if you're a foot and I keep trying to get you to operate like an eyeball? I don't think I ever dreamed that would come out of my mouth. Like, seriously, if I'm expecting everybody, if I'm not helping you with your gifts, because this says we're all the body of Christ, you all have an instrumentally important part. None of them are the same. We have different gifts. We need all of each other. My job is to ensure that they work properly. This is why you need headship. This is why you need pastors and generals and leaders to help you get to where you're going, because my job in this whole journey and our job as elders and teachers is to help you realize what your function is in the body. If I never do that, it is just going to be happen chance if you ever stumble upon what you have. Amen? You are members of the body. I can't expect you, number one, to be something that you're not. But on the other hand, if you're a foot, you're dang right, I'm going to be in your business about being a foot. Right? Well, I just don't feel like being a foot today. I'm just going to hang out and feel sorry for myself. But what happens for a body without a foot? Right? Amen. Amen. As you can see, here's a beautiful thing. I didn't even get to them today because I didn't want to get to them without telling you how important these gifts are to our church. These people, these gifts are critically important because they help us be who Jesus has us to be. And that is his grace. And that is his love. And the funny thing is, people argue over the list. People argue, oh, that's right, that's not right, that doesn't exist anymore, that exists anymore. And then people just go, I've literally read commentaries that say, don't think this is used anymore in the church, boom, skip, and they'll skip huge chunks of scripture and move on to the next. And I'm like, wait a minute, if there's more to that, shouldn't we give it time to exegete what God is actually saying? Because God said he gave these gifts for the purpose of building up and equipping the church. Isn't that more important than me being so soundly doctrinal in what I believe that I'm going to skip over and not pour my life into uncovering the truths of God? Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, these are very important people. By the way, here's the rock star thing of the church. There are no rock stars. This is why this is where this gets abused. People will say, yeah, I'm an apostle of the church. Really? By whose authority did you grant yourself that vision? I'm the prophet of the church. I'm the this of the church. I'm the that of the church. And it's about them and status. That, again, is completely missing the point. These gifts are for the purpose of building up God's church by which we are involved in. So here's the beautiful thing about this text. Is number one, we need to really hone in and be open to what God is saying about these gifts and how vitally important they are. Number two, here's the other part of this is why we're talking about this. Some of them are sitting in this room. Some of you are those people that God has placed in the church. Some of you might know. I know a couple of you have some stirrings and you're thinking like, yeah, I think I'm really supposed to, and we're starting to have those conversations. Some of you aren't even open to it. Let me go back to Rob Dan's pre-idiot but loving Jesus Rob Dan's. I would say things like, I am never going to become a pastor. I could never be one of those tie-wearing, legalistic jerkwads. I just could never be one of those guys. And then with time, as I became open to it and these gifts, God said, hey, that's the exact reason I created you. I remember the night the Lord called me. I heard the voice of the Lord in my spirit say, I have called you to be a pastor and to shepherd my broken people. Those were the exact words I heard from the Lord. Now, if I spent most of my life not being attentive to what God's word would say, that could be lost on me. Some of you are these people. Some of you are here because you are people who are going to train up and be generals of the church to get her to a place where she is fully equipped and ready to go. Back to the boom. In his grace and love for his church, the Lord has placed, everybody say, supernatural, equippers in the church to build up and train up the body to accomplish the ministry that he has given each and every one of us. Amen? Here's the beautiful thing about this. I am very excited
for one of two things. One, to see how God's going to blow this up in the roles in our church. And number two, I'm interested to meet some of you on the flip side of this. God, you are not unimportant to the body of Christ. These are not more important than people that are working in single gifts, but these people are important because they are a part of what God uses to equip it. Who are you? Where are you? Hello? I'm looking for you, and God is highlighting you. And maybe the first time in your life you need to ask Jesus, like, hey, man, Jesus, is this a part of my purpose? And that's the whole point of this series, is that for every step, little step we take, you stop and go, oh, Jesus, is this for me? Is this me? God, show me. Amen?